welcome to the 447th consecutive week of Cinema Psyops. I'm your host, Court, the guy who is not at all really, really regretting the purchase of the Al Adamson box set in any way, shape, or form. And joining me in my co-shared denial is my codependent co-host, Matt.
That's funny. You told me you felt like this is the worst mistake you ever made in your entire life, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that doesn't even compare to the story about the hooker with dysentery.
Yeah, man, that was the sixth time you got crabs. So anyway.
Only the sixth.
Only the sixth.
You know, the nice thing about doing this episode means that I can now delete two more of those entries out of the folder, making room for next year's films, which we should hopefully enjoy a lot more.
Yay!
I mean, I doubt it, but we'll see.
I mean, you never know.
It's a possibility, but yeah. So at least your film had a plot line and a story, and the idea of it, whatever you want to consider it, you know, there was at least something that was there to follow. Having said that, it was very much obviously a low budget Western. Certainly, again, not the worst Western I've ever seen.
But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good Western. Yeah, I won't bury the lead on that. It was a good go.
Yeah, it's certainly not the worst that I've ever seen. We're talking about Five Bloody Graves, which pretty much gives away the plot of the film, if you will.
Yeah.
No real surprises there whenever it's telling you there are going to be five bloody graves, and we don't have that many characters on screen at any given time.
Right.
we'll get there when we absolutely do get there with this film. But yeah, so far we've had two movies in a row that were kind of serious letdowns. The Dracula one I still had fun with, even though thinking about it later on, I'm like, yeah, none of these have really been that great, and I don't think I will be rewatching any of these just yet.
Right? Yeah, I have no need, but I mean, listen, if you're looking for a not half bad Western, I mean, especially like one that's not one of the mainstream big Westerns, this ain't a bad option.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're going to have to defend it for, because I was a little bit bored during it, so I'm kind of interested.
Well, all right. Like I said, it also, you have to like Westerns.
That's fair. There are a few Westerns that'll transcend whether or not I like a Western.
Yeah. There are some Westerns out there that even if somebody's like, I'm not a traditional fan of Westerns, can still enjoy. A lot of those being like Tombstone, I'm forgetting the one with Clint Eastwood.
High Plains Drifter?
There's a bit a lot with Clint Eastwood you could get into.
Oh, it
was one of the newer ones that he was in with Morgan Freeman. And when I say newer, I mean 90s.
Unforgiven.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, like Unforgiven, Tombstone, these are movies that transcend their own Western origins. And just because it contains such great actors of that time, they kind of, people can get into them who aren't normally going to watch a Western. If you are normally into Westerns, this ain't half bad for you. How about that?
The other thing too is I'm more into the late 60s, early 70s, post-spaghetti Western, like thriving spaghetti Western style of Western. Like it's a little more gritty and shows you just how horrible life would be in that circumstance of
out in the West.
Yeah, out in the West, and then also in like the desert areas and things like that. And this one definitely does fit into that mold. I don't like the How the West Was Won Tom Mix early kind of Westerns, you know, that are just, you know, like, and it's not just because they're dated and all of that. It's just that like they don't interest me because when I'm watching them, they ring false. The cowboys are not really the heroes in this, you know, whereas at least this film shows that everybody's just out there trying to survive and murder everybody else.
Yeah, this film is definitely not, there are a couple actual bad dudes out there, but even the two main characters who are fighting one another and kind of going through everything through this movie, you'll see both have their own point of views for this.
Yeah, absolutely. There are reasons that are driving each of the people forward, and they're more complex characters. And I would argue during this that Al Adamson is not the director to hold that sort of thing together. And I would like to see how it holds together for you for that.
Yeah, but another thing I'm quite amazed about is it's rather progressive with its depiction of indigenous people and what they were going through and why they had to resort to things they had to resort to.
All the while having people in red face.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was not as progressive at the time. But I mean, again, we're dealing with a movie made when
1970. So. Yeah, is when it was released. Yeah. So yeah. Well, instead of beating around the bush about this, well, let's get to it. Yeah, let's just actually talk about it. So, Five Bloody Graves, 1970. So for the pirate radio edit for this week, mostly just for Matt's appreciation and just to basically show I'm really grateful for Matt for bringing in the work, even though he himself is sick for these two episodes that we're recording. I've chosen all 1969 or 1970 songs from Johnny Cash on the Pirate Radio Edit.
Hells yeah.
Up first is Flesh and Blood from Johnny Cash right after this.
This'll keep you quiet. Oh, hi there. I didn't see you. You caught me cutting a new show. I'm Bo Ransdell, and I'm one of the many creators you can find on Legion Podcasts. I said quiet! My fellow podcasters and I work hard to bring you the best in horror podcasting, but that comes at a cost.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Not that, but also yes. No, what I'm getting at is that there are server costs, costs for good microphones and software for editing, all the things that make our shows, you know, fun to listen to. And you can help. If you're enjoying the shows on legionpodcasts.com or in the Legion Network available on iTunes and Stitcher, just about anywhere you can download a podcast, really, you can help us out and get a little something for your trouble at patreon.com/legionpodcasts. For just $2 a month, you get a pair of movie commentaries exclusive to Patreon, and for $5, you can also join us for a monthly screening of a movie. All of that available on patreon.com/legionpodcasts. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. Now, back to the cutting room.
Romance angle that they try to squeeze into this film pretty well, and also it fits with the guy that's mourning his wife way past its fucking expiration date in this too, so I think it kind of will fit.
I don't think there's any expiration date for mourning your wife if you love her.
Well, I guess that's fair. Why don't you explain everybody what's actually happening in the movie then?
Alright, Five Bloody Graves, the first 20. We open with a couple in bed. Apparently they haven't seen each other since the war. They keep talking about the war, so we're just going to go ahead and assume they mean the Civil War for what time this was.
Sure, why not?
Yep. She's like asking if he's all right and if he's in love with her and all that. And he's just kind of silent. And she's like, is it because of your wife? And he goes, you know, he's not really answering her. And she's like, you know, you have to live. The world's for the living, all this. And why is your wife, you know, better than me? All that kind of stuff. So you're assuming that his wife's dead. And she's like, she wasn't all that pure. She was like me. And he unfortunately slaps her and then leaves. And that is when we get our opening intro to the movie. And after the intro gets done, we are introduced to a narrator, and that is our first clip.
Ben Thompson, peace officer, who remains alive only because of his deadliness, rides on the trail of a Yaqui chief called Satago, his heart filled with hate. As I ride beside him, as I do with all men on my pale horse, I'm Ben Thompson's close friend, Death, the physician who cures all pain. For the next 5 bloody days, I ride with my mortal messenger, Ben Thompson, collecting the debt all men must pay. Yaqui Chief Satago slaughters the white man and woman in the name of justice for his people. The white man has killed his game, driven his tribe from their hunting ground, and broken every treaty. Where Satago goes, I am. for he too is my messenger, and death is his way of life.
Then we cut to some writing and shooting and kind of defending against the attackers, and it leads to our next clip.
Joe Lightfoot. Yeah, I've heard of you. Here, I think I owe you something.
No, some information. How come Indians are chasing Indians?
My half-brother, Satago. Well, he's a big Yaqui chief now, and he's trying to run all the white men out of the territory. Got guns, too. Lots of them.
Where'd he get them?
Gun runners.
Well, that's neighborly. What's he after you for? Is that his squaw? You running away with her?
That's my squaw. He wants her. If we don't get out of the territory soon, he's going to kill both of us.
Well, then maybe you better get.
Happy hunting.
The five bloody days have their beginning. The hatred between Ben Thompson and Satago creates a holocaust of violence, during which these two messengers of mine each seeks revenge. In this grave lies Ben Thompson's bride, Mary, delivered to me by an arrow from the bow of Satago on her wedding day. Weep not for her. She's found peace. No yesterdays to regret, no today to endure, no tomorrows to fear. When sweet Mary Thompson died, all of the love within the heart of Ben Thompson was buried with her. For he's Mary's husband forever. Even I, death, cannot part this man and this woman.
Okay.
Hey, man, that's love.
It's okay to find someone else to live the rest of your life with and attempt to be happy after you lose the one that you thought you should always be with.
That is also true. It is fine. And that's why we always say, till death do you part. I'm just saying it's okay to not do it either.
Oh, I would say till death, or legally speaking, you have any right to do you part.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, when it comes to declaring your love, you're supposed to say until death do you part, because no one actually wants to admit that, you know, over 50% are going to end in divorce anyway.
God damn. At least we're happy. anyway, then we cut to a lady. She's shooting some deer when one of the men who is trying to clean the land of the colonizers, if you will, attacks her. Ben shows up and they fight, and Ben kills the man. The lady checks on Ben, and that is our next clip.
Ben?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah.
Oh, looks bad. Think you can stop the bleeding?
Yeah, I gotta clean it first. How's your neck?
Oh, it stings.
Could you get me my canteen and my gun belt? Here, let me use your scar. Well, I'll put some whiskey on it. The arrow healed it.
Still stings. Thank you. Thanks for everything. Here, let me help you.
Yeah, just pour it in and wash the sand out. What the hell are you doing out here alone?
Alone? Dave's in Tucson. He'll be back tomorrow.
Dave? Dave Miller?
I guess you hadn't heard. I married Dave just after you left for the war. Why didn't I hear from you, Ben?
You know why.
I thought I meant something to you.
Look, I told you in the beginning, it wouldn't work.
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
She's dead, Ben.
You know I ought to be in that grave, or kill her.
Mary would want you to feel that way. She'd want you to live, not just exist. Remember, Ben, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, there's no use trying to talk any sense into you once you've got your mind made up.
That's right. You know, this country's crawling with small bands of renegade Apaches. Mexicans call them Yaquis, worst kind of Apache. Rather scalp a white man than chase a squaw. I hope Dave makes it.
He'll make it.
Well, I better stay with you till he gets back.
Are you asleep?
Yep.
Would you like your coffee poured on your foot?
No, ma'am.
Did you sleep all right?
Yep. Best a fella can with one eye open.
Did you hear anything?
No, it's been quiet. Too quiet.
It's Dave. Hello, Dave.
Well, hello, Thompson. What brings you around these parts? Just passing through.
Two Yaquis tried to take me home for a plaything. Ben here happened by just in time. One cut his leg. And look what they did to my neck.
So you came by here to celebrate the big event? Oh, hold it, Dave. I came by to warn you. The whole countryside is being torn up by renegade Apaches. You're lucky you made it back from town. I'm on my way to Tombstone. I think you and Nora better travel with me. I've been living here for 5 years, Ben. Ain't never had no trouble with Indians. Besides, I got my traps to tend to.
Dave, don't you believe us?
These aren't just Indians. They're Yakis.
Well, if you go in, then get. Because I don't want your kind hanging around here or my woman.
Don't pay him any mind, Ben. His feelings are hurt.
So are mine. I wanted the rest of that coffee. Thanks. Believe me, Nora. I've seen Indian signs for the last 3 days.
You and Dave better get to town until the army can chase him back across the border.
Looks like a storm coming up. I better get moving.
Why don't you wait till it blows over, Ben? When will I see you again?
Well, who knows? Maybe Tucson someday.
Yeah, maybe.
And if I come back through this area, I expect to see a lot of young'uns running around. Oh, and tell Dave he owes me a cup of coffee.
Okay, I'll do that.
Bye, Nora.
Dave is so stubborn. Why don't you believe me? Ben saved my life. That's the only thing that happened.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about you and Ben Thompson.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to Twin Creeks and check my traps.
But Dave...
All right. And that is the end of the opening 20 minutes.
Yeah, so this Ben guy is supposed to be the most eligible bachelor since his wife was killed by the native peoples who are trying to remove all of the people that are causing their deaths that are in their lands.
And he is apparently the deadliest, too. So
right. And so he's this deadly, badass, super sexy, eligible bachelor that's just breaking hearts all along the trail and just wrecking marriages by showing up and saving a lady from being brutally raped.
Pretty much, yeah. There you go. You've got the story down.
I'm dubious about this story being believable, man.
Well, of course it's not believable. No Western is believable.
All right. So he's just this magical cock who also can't feel anything anymore because the woman that he did love died.
Yes.
But he's totally okay with fucking a bunch of other women. He just can't fall in love with anyone else because his wife died.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So he wants to live like a monk emotionally, but also live like a cocksmith physically.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, you're asking a lot of questions. They're going to get the same answers, Court.
All I'm saying is this is bullshit. This is like, okay, so he
can. Of course it is. It's male machoism bullshit, but that's what every fucking.
Oh, no. That's what Westerns are. They are a myth of what a man should be. And this is that. That stoic Gary Cooper type. But the reason that he's a Gary Cooper type is the woman that he loved died saving him. So therefore he can't love anymore. And if that's the case, then the dude should be living like a complete monk, yet he's fucking breaking hearts all over the place and clearly like allowing women to get close to him and feeling something for them. But the minute that they acknowledge it and want to move on with the relationship a little bit further, he immediately drops them like a hotcake. And that doesn't make him a tragic hero. That makes him a serial monogamist abuser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, you show me a Western with a well-adjusted male character and I'll show you not a Western.
You show me a Western that has a well-adjusted male lead character and I'll show you a drama that takes place in the West.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't have a Western. You just have a... You have a period piece at that point.
There's somebody out there right now screaming at their iPod going, look, Court, Westerns are not supposed to be Anna Green Gables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Court, you're being a little woke for the Western, just saying.
You want people to acknowledge their emotional faults and try to grow as people in the old West? That's not going to happen.
They even tell you in this movie you can't have feelings as a man. You'll die.
Well, this is where our PSYOP comes in, and we basically say how this is fucking bullshit, but this is how Westerns work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's a good place to frame the next 20.
All right. Let's see here. All right. Next 20 starts. They are that couple is now attacked, but they fight them off and they're able to fight some of them off. And when they rejoin together at their house, more attack, and that Nora is killed by an arrow in the back and the house is set on fire. And then Dave, while he's trying to fight everyone off, is also killed. So because he just got so fucking pissy, that's why they're dead. You know, they could. could be alive, but they're not.
Because he's not the legendary cocksmith that is our main character. That's why he is.
And if you would have listened to the legendary cocksmith that's our main character, they'd be a tombstone by now.
Well, we don't get five bloody graves by having everybody, the character that is this major cocksmith, come across survive now, do we?
No, that's actually very true. So we get back to death narrating in our next clip.
Gunrunners are my messengers also. The arms they sell to the Yaqui are instruments of preordained death. Each man has his appointed day. I'm with you and all men, constantly.
We got rifles. You got gold?
Well, rifles and horse. 2 days.
What do you make them signs for, Clay?
Well, it ain't because they like us, I can tell you that. You just give us 2 days to get out of the territory.
2 days, then what?
Supper. Supper for ants. That's one way.
Ants for supper, oh no.
Oh, shut your yap.
You mean we're the supper?
That's right, we're the supper. Horace.
Well, we see the guy who Ben was talking to earlier, who's trying to escape his brother. He's sitting there and he's injured on his horse. So he falls down and Ben finds him. And that leads to our next clip.
What happened?
Ambush. Two of them jumped me. They're still there.
You get your squaw?
She's safe back at camp. Went out for some food and got the buck. Two Yakis got me.
Better fix you up. Get you back to your woman. I don't think this territory is any too friendly. Take a bite.
All right. So he pulls the arrow out of him and they settle up and ride off. Then we see that guy's the little fawn, I guess her name was. She is now staked to the ground. We see the chief is watching from like a hillside. So she was unfortunately caught. The chief likes to stake them to the ground so that they have to, you know, they die by ants. So they die slowly. Not a great dude. The two gunrunners find her and they walk up to her, and the main kind of drunken one, the leader of the two, he goes up to her and he rapes her. So fuck you, movie. That wasn't cool.
Yeah, it's just fucking disgusting.
Yeah. And then when the other one's going to go for his turn, the main guy shoots her and kills her, and they take her necklace as a trophy, and then they leave. Ben and the dude, her husband, finds her, and this leads to death again in our next clip.
So little fawn came to me, and the manner of her dying has given me another earthly disciple. As Joe Lightfoot carries the clay of his love to her final rest, his troubled mind is filled with despair, vengeance, and dedication to me.
Then we cut to the chief's group is attacking some other folks, and they're able to hold them off, which leads to our next clip.
Well, looks like they let up for a while. Can't be too many of them. They've been on top of us over an hour ago.
Jim, I'm so
sorry. Oh, shut your yap.
That's their way. That's no way to talk.
Funny kind of talk she understands.
Quit that sniffling, will you? I'll hang your fanny over that wagon for a target.
I will, Jim. I'll try.
Well, you damn well better. No, I can always trade your bloomers in for a much better pair.
Well, he's right, Lavina. Try and pull yourself together. Do you know what Indians do to white women? Well, now, that kind of thinking just ain't gonna help. But I can't help it. I'm scared.
Thank you. Thank you, my hermit. May the good Lord reward your kindness.
Althea ain't no maiden. You're welcome, Mr. Hawkins.
Don't you trouble your pretty head about Kelly, daughter. Retribution shall be hers from the mighty hand on high.
Oh, I guess I'm used to it now.
Oh, you don't ever need to get used to the ways of the devil. It's never too late to wash yourself clean.
I don't feel dirty, Mr. Hawkins.
Face your sins, then ask forgiveness from the Almighty. Then and only then can you find true happiness.
I'm happy enough.
With the help of the Lord, everything can change in the future. No more clouds, only sunshine.
He doesn't handle the weather that way. Thanks for trying. If you want to pray for something, pray for help.
Thanks. You weren't always a preacher, were you, Boone?
Jezebel.
Look, out there. A couple of riders coming in fast.
Lord has answered my request.
One should be careful for what one prays. Boone Hawkins did not pray for forgiveness. He prayed for help. And Ben Thompson, my angel of death, will bring to these troubled people not the burden of continued life, but the promise of everlasting peace.
One dead yak. I'll be damned. Ben Thompson.
Nice shooting, Jim. Stack my deck. Ben Thompson.
What are you doing out here, Jim?
Having a party?
Some party. They made a mistake, Ben. Run me out of Tucson. One with the ladies here. Got this far, we got hit by these Yakis, lost our horses. How about you? Still tracking that same fella, huh?
That's right, Jim. Picked up Joe on the trail.
Yeah, I heard about the half-breed. Plan to make him a permanent partner?
Nothing permanent with me except death.
Hey, Fancy Bloomers, I want to talk to you.
Quit making eyes at my man. Vina, I don't
just
know what... Stay away from him, you understand? I don't know what you're talking about.
The brown-haired filly.
You little wildcat, that's Althea. Works for Kansas Kelly. Blonde with me.
Better take care of that wound, Joe. Be back in a minute.
Here, kid. I think you're going to need these.
Hello, Kansas.
Hello, Ben. Glad to see you.
How do you like the war?
Think we'll get out of here still wearing our hair?
Well, if it doesn't get too hot.
Lost a lot of bows to her.
Not you, Kansas. See you later.
Drop by. I'll buy you a drink.
Same saloon?
You bet, honey.
What are you doing there?
Merely answering the great call of nature. No more, no less. Can I return to the wagon now?
Go ahead. Maybe you ought to change closer to the wagon.
How long have you been watching me?
Not long enough. Did you want me to knock?
Next time, please do, Mr.
Thompson. Ben Thompson.
Oh, of course. I should have recognized you by your splendid attire and manners.
I'm sure my manners didn't start that fight. I wouldn't worry about it, miss. All the gals fight over Jim. Well, that's a pretty dress. Did you make it yourself?
You know very well this is a dress I work in. Are you really interested in clothes, Mr. Thompson?
Name's Ben. Right now I am.
I must say, by the looks of your outfit, you must have an excellent tailor.
Clothes are kind of like a gun, ma'am. You only change them when they're worn out.
God, Ben. How long did you know he was up there?
Be quiet. Be very quiet.
What does it mean, Ben?
You think we're trapped. Maybe we are.
So, later that night, the men are all keeping watch. The blonde has a nightmare, and her man then, you know, starts beating her because, you know, she had a nightmare. And the older lady knocks him out with a bottle, and this leads to our next clip.
I hope you didn't hurt him. Can't stand to see a man mauling a gal.
Jim, are you all right?
Sure he's all right. I've been cracking skulls for years. Finish your lovemaking in the morning, honey.
Night, Ben.
Pleasant dreams.
Animals. Animals.
That was awful, Ben.
Jim and Lavina? Jim's been doing that for years. Most women like it.
Think a woman is a possession like a horse? Like your friend over there?
Who said Jim was my friend? Besides, he won Lavina in a poker game.
Have you ever been in love?
Once. She's dead.
And that was enough?
Uh-huh. And you?
You got the gold fever. Left me. What happened to you?
She got shot. Knife.
Later on, Ben and the other dude who lost his wife, they decide they're done waiting and they're going to go leave the camp and see if they can't find where the other guys are all located, just so they can try to, you know, take them out before they can take them out. I think, and it's probably not a bad idea, they feel like they're trapped and they're probably outnumbered at this point. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, their best bet is to do a surprise attack or find their camp and see how many of them they can take out while they're sleeping or something kind of along
those lines. Their best bet is to go on offense.
Yeah, that's their best bet.
So they find the enemy camp. They kill a few of the guys and they run a couple of their horses off, but more of them can escape. But they should have moved enough of them around so that they can actually move out safely. Then the gun raiders see the group moving and they want the women, and because, you know, they're rapist pieces of shit. So they join them, and that is our next clip.
You lost? Not always. Yeah, not always. Where are you headed?
Tombstone?
Yeah, Tombstone.
Will you shut up?
Yeah, shut up.
I'm sorry, Clay.
First name's Clay. What's the last?
Bates. Clay Bates.
Wigan. Horace Wigan.
Oh, what happened to your wing?
I bet it. What'd you do that for?
Because he was hungry, stupid.
We need your horses for these women.
Water's low and the walk is long.
I don't give up my horse to no man or woman.
Well, I'd be glad to.
Then we get some more writing. This is kind of where our movie does a lot of its, for lack of a better word, a lot of its padding is just riding these trails a lot.
Yeah, a lot of watching people ride around on trails or run around on trails. That's it.
That's about it. Very true. So, cold brain. All right. So then they get to some water, like a water source, a little creek running, and that becomes our next clip.
Well, that's the horse.
Lady down.
Then we're way off the main trail.
Headed for an old mining trail up in the rock. We may be able to fool the Yakis and get through, besides a little shorter. We'll rest for a while and move out.
Well, I'm going down the river a little way, Joe. Come on along, I'll fix a new bandage for you.
I'll let that nurse get tangled up in that bandage. I'll be careful. Reporting is ordered, Doctor.
Under the circumstances, Joe, welcome to my bathtub. Got a handkerchief?
No.
Take off your shirt.
You're the doctor. Arm's a little stiff, though.
Still, I'll do it. How long have you known Ben?
5 days. Heard about him for years.
So have I. Strange man. Doesn't seem to have a heart.
Can't afford to have one. He'd been dead a long time ago. Feelings get a man in a lot of trouble.
You men are all alike.
Don't do no good to love a dead man. Or a woman.
You've had a good life, Joe. Death doesn't matter.
Ben, set up smoke signals for the Indians. Some you can't. Keep my horse for running, Ben. I've got something I gotta do.
All right. And that is the end of that 20 minutes where we go into the final 30.
Yeah. See, a lot of that 20 minutes was us watching them riding around on trails and wondering what the fuck.
Yeah. No, that's very fair. There is some good hefty padding in this.
Did you notice the guy who was the pimp guy that was beating the lady around and then got bottled and was laid out for the night by the other hooker? Do you notice him or recognize him from anything?
I did not.
Okay. The movie Gremlins from the 80s, right?
Uh-huh.
The town sheriff, the main sheriff, is that pimp guy that was that got bottled. Huh. It's that same actor.
How about that?
Yeah. There was some kind of grandiose pose that he did when he was like shooting back at the Native American tribe that was trying to kill them all. And he did some kind of grandiose pose after they ran off again with, you know, his rifle skills or whatever, that I kind of recognized him, where he smiled and stuff, and it clicked where I knew him from, but it was bugging me from the first moment he was on screen until that moment ended up happening. And I just wanted to wait for that to talk about now to pad out the episode a little bit more for us. Yeah. I was just waiting for, just something to pop up to remind me of something else with Gremlins with him. And then he beat the hell out of that girl for waking him up because she had a nightmare. And I immediately really started hating the guy because he did some awful stuff before that, but not anything too awful Western wise until he starts beating a lady just for having a nightmare. And then I'm
that was bullshit.
Guy. Right. The minute he gets bottled in the head, I'm cheering on the other hooker for doing it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You feel real good. The older hooker is one of the better hookers.
She's very practical in her approach to how she's going to survive in the Old West. And I mean, if anything, she feels like the most realistic character out of everyone that's here.
Yeah. Right. So, hey, it's good stuff.
Yeah. And I think you're right. For a Western that was shot in the 70s, it definitely handles the balance between the peoples and really doesn't point a finger as to who's right and who's wrong. They're just talking about the atrocities that everybody's committed on every side. And that's kind of how humanity works. Like, people slaughtered people in this time because of these reasons.
Yeah, because they want land, resources, all that stuff.
Right. And everybody was fighting to try and survive on a ever dwindling set of resources. And it's only gotten worse with time. It's just that the people that are killing everyone else now are corporations.
Yeah, exactly.
We can move on with that frame of mind for the next
one. All right. The final 30. Well, the blonde, the girlfriend of the main pimp guy, she's bathing in the creek, and the lead creep is spying on her. And then she sees him, and he's like, hey, I got your clothes up here. And she's like, come on, I want you. And he even offers her the necklace he took off of Little Fawn. Just then, Jim shows up and beats him up and then admonishes her because he blames her for some reason for it. And then she is killed by an arrow in the back by some attackers. Jim kills that guy. As the others come to check on it, everyone, the husband of Little Fawn sees that the guy has the necklace. We cut to the funeral for the blonde lady, and that is in our next clip.
The soul returned to its eternal home. We ask you to forgive her sins. We shall remember Latina Wade for her beauty and her kindness. We ask you to give strength to Jim Wade this time of his personal loss. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
I wonder how Jim really feels.
Over Lavina?
The poker game.
Well, you better move out. Got a long ride ahead.
Yeah, we got a long ride ahead. So then we get back onto the road. Of course, more walking now. And then Jim and Ben, they decide they're going to go ahead and check out the trails in front of everyone and let everyone just kind of rest for a moment. Well, that leads the two creeps talking, and that is our next clip.
Believe what you got to drink so much for.
None of your damn business how much I drink, Horace.
Don't call me Horace.
All right, horse face, don't you get on my nerves.
I didn't mean to make you mad, Clay. I was just thinking that maybe we can make a deal with some other Mr. Moore gun.
All right, all right.
But maybe we can take their guns to Satago and maybe just save our skins.
Yeah. And maybe that's just the best idea you ever had.
Ben and Jim have been gone over an hour. There hasn't been a sound out there. I'm really worried.
Probably killed each other.
Not funny.
It wasn't meant to be. They've been sizing each other up for years, like a couple of male cougars on the hunt.
Well, if anything happens to them, we don't have a prayer.
Ha! I'd rub me all over with berry juice, go out there and find me a handsome yakky buck.
Oh, Kelly.
Better than being dead, ain't it?
Not to me.
Relax, Elsie. How about a snort?
No, thanks. How long have you known Ben?
Ben? Honey, no one really knows Ben Thompson. We got drunk together one night in Tucson. Even when he's drunk, he don't talk much. Best I could make out, his bride caught a bullet was meant for him. Come on, have a drink. Forget about him.
No, thanks.
Well, I'll indulge if you don't mind. If you do, you know I'll have one anyway. Would you like a little drink, Boone?
I don't need false courage. Ouch. Oh, Lord. Thy servant's feet have trod a hard road.
All right. So the main creep who has a pretty heavy drinking problem, he passes out and his buddy tries to wake him up by beating him. And he keeps slapping him to the point where everyone thinks he's just going to kill him. And before anything else happens, the little Fawn's husband shows up and kicks him in the face. And then he stands over the guy kind of staring at him, knowing he knows that this guy's the reason little Fawn was dead or at least was there. But then the guy who got kicked in the face, he takes one of the women hostage, and this leads to our next clip.
Drop the gun. Drop it! What's the girl?
I can't allow this. Shut your mouth, preacher. You're putting all our lives in extreme danger, Mr. Wiggins. If nothing else, think of yourself.
Shut up, preacher man. You're going to pull it between your teeth.
Sir, one of us or all of us is about to die. Surely we can take time to speak with our maker.
Then shut up! Thought you smart, didn't you, Clay? Well, I'm smarter than you. I'm smarter than anybody here. I'm going to take them rifles. I'm going to Satago. Save my skin.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the end that all that believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Clay! He's the one that killed my wife.
Well, you sure made a believer out of him, Boone.
Why, Boone Hawkins, you're downright amazing.
You're right. I wasn't always a preacher.
Why does he run? Each man at his moment of dying hopes for just a little more time to right the wrongs he has done. But time is of no importance to me. When a man's day arrives, I take it. What he's done before is done, without hope of change.
I do have to say here that John Carradine is definitely being put in this movie to be the carny trick to make you forgive a bunch of things about it that you probably wouldn't, like the excessive amount of trail riding and things like that in every Western that bores even the biggest Western fan.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
But the John Carradine stuff really just kind of steals the show on this film, and that would make it rewatchable, especially that sequence where he takes the guy down by basically doing what Quentin Tarantino would steal later on for various speeches in his entirety, where somebody says something like badass right before they're supposed to cap a motherfucker that's from the Bible. That's basically what John Carradine does here, but he's basically saying, I'm trying to save your soul before I doom your existence, son.
Yeah, right. Good shit, too.
Yeah, that was entertaining, and I have to fully admit that I now know in retrospect that was a carny trick that worked on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I didn't realize how much of a carny trick it was you just said, but yeah, it definitely worked.
Yeah. Well, we can move on. I just wanted to mention that one.
Right. Well, he knocks out the lead creep guy and stakes him to the ground. It pretty much tells him, hey, I know you killed my wife, so you're about to die by fire, Ant. Have a fabulous fucking day, you prick. And just then, he is shot by the, opposing the chief, his brother. He's shot by him in the stomach. Well, he's able to crawl over and he kills the lead creep so that he makes sure that's done. And then he's surrounded by other guys and he is shot with an arrow twice, and that is it. He then is dead. The rest of the group knows that they need to get the hell out of there, so they leave. They are attacked again. This time, it's kind of like the final attack. It's the final push. In this attack, the preacher and the older lady of the night, if you will, she is, they're both killed in this. Then Jim is shot in the back and killed after he kills two attackers, and this leads to our next clip.
Oh, quit mauling me, Ben, will you? I should have known better. I'm a guy that never kept his back to the door.
Take it easy, Jim.
Oh, don't murder me, will you? No, I always thought I'd get it in some gambling hall or some bedroom, but boy, here I am. Up in some goat trail. Oh, life's full of funny switchbacks, ain't it? Yes, it's funny. It's really a laugh.
Save your breath.
You better save yours. You're going to need it, Ben. And listen, if you're dumb enough to waste time burying me, I promise you, I'll come back and haunt you.
Why do all the others die while Ben Thompson, who seeks death, is denied me? Because his services as my earthly messenger have not yet been finally accomplished.
All right. So, as the two left rest and grieve a little bit, an attacker shows up to shoot at Ben, but the lady takes the bullet for him. Ben kills the guy, and this leads to him comforting her in our next clip.
Yeah, no.
Here. Will you, Ben?
I fear.
That would make you weak. You're strong. My heart will my head.
We'll make it. Together. Together we'll make it.
Wait, Ben.
That does not what makes him strong. Not feeling things does not make you stronger. It just makes you numb.
You're in the wrong movie, man. Come on. This is the way it is.
That Gary Cooper bullshit is going to kill men, and we need to stop that style of thinking for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, the two last men fight then, because now it's just down to the chief and Ben. And Death narrates it in our next clip.
Here in this vast silent valley, in a setting which might well be the end or the beginning of the world, these two men, each of whom is certain of the justice and honor for which he does battle, meet in a final confrontation. One of them will come to me, the other will ride on seeking me. For in violence between men or nations, there can be but one victor. That is death.
Ooh, message.
Yeah. Well, Ben wins the fight and the guy kills the guy. He makes graves for the others as Death narrates in our final clip.
Then Thompson served me well. As he rides away from this bloody valley, his friends and his enemies have found their ultimate destiny. I ride beside him on my pale horse, for I am Death. And if I didn't exist, it'd be necessary to invent me. For only I can cure the pain of living. Only I can show each living thing that dying is nothing more than ceasing to be afraid.
Jesus Christ, was Death dialogue written by Lydia Dietz?
I guess, but roll credits.
As far as westerns go, I've definitely seen worse, but I am admittedly not a huge western fan, but I do like a more gritty, dark, twisted sort of western, and there was definitely a lot of that in here. I like the balance of the story where Death is telling us, literally, when two people go to war for their ideal justice and causes, all they end up doing is serving Death. That was an interesting way of going about trying to do that storytelling. I thought that was kind of cool. There's a lot more to like about this than to dislike, but I don't think I'm ever going to want to watch this again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but like I said, it was a pleasant surprise for what was going on for the rest of the series that they've done so far.
It made a great episode. It made great dialogue for us to discuss the film. It made a couple of really good moments where we could have teaching moments to let people know that that Gary Cooper style of thinking about the strong silent type for men has always been bullshit and will always be bullshit and is toxic and will get you killed or get everyone around you killed, like what happened to our friend Ben here, who thought he was such a fucking badass stoic piece of shit.
Well, they all think they're badass stoic pieces of shit.
Right, because they can't feel anything. Because if they feel anything, then they can't be men. And that's not how it works. Then they die. Yeah, well, you die.
And believe it or not, all the other guys felt something and they all died. This movie did not do a good job of reinforcing that, because the one guy who didn't share one feeling at all throughout the whole time, kept cool the whole time, like no anger, no nothing, he's the one who lives. Where any other person who showed even a modicum of emotion, all died.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Ben is slowly dying inside from a mental fucking cancer, and which is basically causing all of the death that is around him as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's...
I'm a tumor. Yeah. I'm a tumor.
It's just misery, man. Just violence and fucking misery is what this guy lives out. And that's really what you want in a Western. That is your ideal Western hero. So, yay.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for happy endings in my Western.
Yeah, if you're looking for a happy ending, you clearly aren't watching a Western. You're watching a drama that takes place in the West.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, like I said,
these are facts.
Yeah, it's not the worst Western I've ever seen, but again, I've definitely seen better, and I would probably want to watch something, you know, else besides this if I'm in the mood for a Western. Preferably, you know, a spaghetti Western from like the late 70s or so, or mid 70s, you know, something along those lines.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, why don't we just pad out the episode with your story time and we just get whatever episode length we get.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so we're going to take a little break here, and for the Pirate Radio edit, we're going to have The Man in Black from Johnny Cash, and when we come back, we'll have Max story time. so sure I like the message behind the man in black there talking about people needing to hear Jesus' message. I'm not so sure I like that anymore. If well, I ever did.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever did, but I get his messaging just because he was a pretty big dude of God type guy.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can find a way to tie something about the man in black into your story time.
Time. I'm trying to think here of a story time.
With your mucus brain, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do a story about my mucus brain. So I was in college at the time, and I got really sick. And it was my freshman year of college. I'm away, you know, 3 hours away from home, you know, and I was just trying to do anything I could to think of to help with my cold. In the end, what it turned out was I had tonsillitis, and I needed, like, a lot of hardcore medication that I was willing that I would to go get. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, one day in full ass, just horrific, brain, problems there. I had, as you can tell, I'm doing it right now. We had a big group project where we had to do a presentation, right? And I was one of the hinges of being able to do the group presentation because, I have a gift gab and I use that very well. So, and just about everybody else in my class, was, you know, just did not speak very clearly or very well. So,
AKA one of the Matt big points agreed is, to do the presentation with the speech part because nobody else wanted to do it, so he didn't have to do much other work.
Yes, that was pretty much it. That was my deal. Is you guys, I'll do all the talking. Just you know, I did some of the work too because I needed to do a little bit of something, and but they took on the bulk of the research and everything else. Day of presentation, I have mucus brain big, worse than now. I couldn't string together two things. And now remember, I have to know this stuff anyway, because if there's a Q&A afterwards and I have to like defend our position on this certain thing. And good I'm Lord. Like, I'm going to die. This is it. None of this is going to go well for me and we're going to fail. And it was the next day. I had a night to sleep and I went to bed at 5 p.m. I woke up. It was a noon class. I woke up at 11:30. I had to get dressed and run to the class. I can't think of shit. I couldn't remember shit. I bullshitted my way. The arguments I gave were not arguments we had practiced. So all my classmates were like, what the fuck? I winged just about every second of it through a foggy ass brain to the point where this is how I knew I could bullshit, where my ability to bullshit really I learned was really good throughout all of it. At the very end, where I think I'm going to get told we all need to talk, what was that even about? My professor looks at me and goes, well, that was really good. You guys did really good. And Matt, those are really good arguments you made. I could see this team really work cohesively. I have no idea how I got out of that. 2 days later, I was in the hospital for 3 days.
You know what I'm picturing this whole story that you're telling me that is Frank the Tank pulling his shit together in Old School. And he gives that whole huge debate where it was like this perfect argument that even James Carville has nothing against. And then he's like, what just happened? I just blacked out for a moment. What just happened?
Yeah. It was kind of like that.
There are a few moments in our life where we are given the grace of such greatness, where things can happen, where it falls together and you sort of see just how well you can bullshit your way through life if you are that good of a liar and a con man.
And I am.
Matt Syop saw an opportunity and went for it. And
everyone needs to understand this. I am. I can't be a con man if I want to be.
You do okay until you come up against somebody like me and I'm calling you on your bullshit.
It's true. Thank God you weren't my professor, or else that could have gone poorly.
Right.
Because if there are any follow-up questions, the shit I stated, we would have been done.
Someone that knows facts and or can rapidly check facts are the type of person that is Matt's worst nightmare for a presentation.
Yeah. And you're not wrong. Oh, Although there were a few of the people there who, you know, because you were actually, it was a weird fucking thing, because you were literally, as other students, not a part of the group, tried to get all the other groups to fail, which I thought was a really weird fucking thing to do as a professor, but whatever. So they went after me pretty hard, but I still was able to bullshit my way out of most of it.
Like, you got bonus points for disproving some other people's points, like you were able to steal points from other teams.
And you stole points from them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a peer-reviewed kind of thing where you're just basically vying for the ultimate position on finding out what your research actually brings or what have you, yeah.
And you'd think we'd all try to be like super cool with one another and say, hey, everyone just be cool. We can all walk out of here with 100. But no, everyone wanted their own piece of the pie, I guess, so.
But I've seen Battle Royale. I know that's not how kids end up operating at all.
No.
And everybody else out there that's seen The Hunger Games and not Battle Royale, that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. It's not good. Battle Royale.
Oh, brother. Let's just go ahead and cut it off here. That's going to eventually edit together to over an hour, we hope. So I guess we'll see. Right now, we're going to play the show Housekeeping. And immediately after that, on the Pirate Radio edit, we are going to have Johnny Cash singing a duet with June Carter, If I Were a Carpenter, right after this. If you've decided you can't get enough of the show and would like to check out more of it, we're available at legionpodcast.com. Just do a quick search for Cinema Psyops or just enter this entire URL into your browser, www.legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops-podcast. Also available along with all of the fellow Legionnaires on the Legion Discord chat. And now let's give you a rundown of the memes and how you're going to get them through Cinema Psyops. The easiest place to go is to subscribe to our Instagram feed, which is our main meme repository at cinema_psyops, or you could also follow the Facebook page of Cinema Psyops because they are immediately posted there after they get posted to the Instagram repository. And you can also check out the Facebook group of Cinema Psyops, and the memes are shared there. I am available on Facebook as Court Psyops because the memes are also shared there as well. Thanks for listening to the show. I still can't believe that you're subscribed to us or here every week just like us. Love a duet between June Carter and Johnny Cash.
They really knew how to bring that shit together, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They most certainly did. Well, hopefully everyone out there has been enjoying the June Carter and Johnny Cash music that preceded this discussion because, well, we're here. This is the end of the episode. We've all made it, everyone. We're definitely ready to kick the fuck out of this week and make it our bitch while we enjoy Johnny Cash singing Sunday Morning Coming Down.
Recording in progress.
There we go. And you can hear this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's...
I can't even do right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's not fuck about. We'll play just a little bit of the theme for matching, and we'll go from there.
All right. Oh, God, I died.
No, yours this week was at least a decent... Well, excuse me there, Mr. Mistake button I hit.
Jeez.
Yeah, can't hit the delete button around here without that showing up, apparently, for my...
Nope, right?
The sound plant program is terrific, but the problem is you can't use your keyboard while it's up at all. Otherwise, that happens.
Yep.
Anyway, 3, 2, 1...
No, this is a pretty good Western in my...
You still with me? I just lost you. I can't hear you. You're muted.
You there?
Yeah, you're back now. I lost you when you said it's a pretty good Western in my... And then you muted.
Yeah, my mom was trying to call me.
Oh. Okay.
Which leads to a fight and hold on here. And fucking Jesus Christ, man. Get together. Fucking snot brain.
That 3, 2, 1. Last recording. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, okay, hold on. Everyone's got to give me a moment here. It's all this happening now. Sorry.
It's all right. Silence cuts itself out. It's fine.
All right.
Hopefully everyone out there has been enjoying the June Carter and Johnny Cash music that preceded this discussion because, well, we're here. This is the end of the episode. We've all made it, everyone. We're definitely ready to kick the fuck out of this week and make it our bitch while we enjoy Johnny Cash singing Sunday Morning Coming Down. Goddamn, that hits hard, don't it?
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Thematically, that fits for a Western, and good Lord, we've all been there.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and end this for everyone.
Yeah.
Recording stopped.